What is that? What would you say? Self-esteem.
Discouragement.
I would shut down. I would shut down. My communication development just would decrease and I wouldn't grow. One time she, one time I needed to go to the restroom real bad. So I didn't know how to really say, I need to go to the restroom, thinking Spanish. So I would say, water. So she kept on going, water. And then to where I couldn't hold it anymore and just humiliated me, all these kids. It was really humiliating. And so that continued on in my whole life because third grade teacher, mean teacher, fifth grade teacher, slapped me in the hand, and it continued. So by the time I got to high school, where do you think I was destined to? Huh? And I did. And I dropped out of high school. I was in high school, and you know when they put you in these called special reading classes, what do you think others would think of you? What would they think? You're dumb. You're slow. You're a special ed student, right? So I just thought, well, let me get away. And I'm lucky and I'm blessed that I chose to go in the Marine Corps. And there was my first experience with an awesome teacher who led me to complete my high school diploma when I was stationed in Hawaii. I don't remember what she looked like. All I remember is that she was so nice to help me out. That is, our approach to teaching is so important. That if only our tongues were made of glass, how much more careful would we be when we speak? And scriptures come to mind, don't they? When you think about that, that we got to be careful what we say to people, don't we? One of the things that this gentleman, Mr. James Durham, said, he had some vocabulary words like this. I don't know what they mean. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what they mean. I can try to remember, but this one I know. Some of you know. What is this? What is it? Yeah, Dagon. It's the manfish, right? It's the manfish. I knew that by reading. From his reading. But what about the other ones? Anybody else know? Who knows? Raise your hand if you know any of these words. Well, good.
What do they call the people that change into wolves? Werewolves?
Why did you conclude that? Why did you come to that conclusion?
Because I recently read something online about the cult trying to tantalize their children. And it was occultic things like that. And I remember that word as a root part of another word.
So you went by what you already know, by looking at the root words and trying to make sense of the word.
Kids that age are really, I have 12, 13, and 15-year-old girls really into vampires.
Okay.
That's their friend at school.
So the point is, a lot of you don't know what they were, but imagine a child who just knows one language, not English, and trying to make sense out of a word like this. You're doing it, trying to go back with root words and all. But from what I remember, what this guy was saying, that this very vulpine is somebody that's fox-like. Sneaky kind of a... And then this one, Wittershins, he said it's somebody that goes counterclockwise. When your thinking goes counterclockwise. Citherisms, what he said, is the sound the wind makes when it goes through tree leaves or through leaves. And none of you have heard this. I'd never heard of this word either. But he said it's a very popular word, not here in this country, but other foreign countries. What is it? A batata. It's a sweet potato. Did you know? It's a sweet potato. You knew it? Really? Because in other foreign countries, they know it. We call it a sweet potato, but they call it a batata. Right? Because I don't know. Right? So that, to me, was amazing how language works and affects. So what we want to learn here is understanding who we are. We got to understand who we are first before we even attempt to approach a learner, a student. Understanding the learning process is also important. And then understanding our approach as a teacher. So, with that being said, what do I need to understand for my approach to learning? For my approach as a teacher. So, if the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word of God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we were made in His image, then what are we made of? Huh? She said words. Okay? Why do you say that?
Well, because the Word, and the Word was God, and we're made in His image.
Who else? Anybody else? Let's stick to that. I like your answer. Great answer. So let's review. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So He created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. All right. So can we say that really the image that God created us in is heart, soul, and mind? So what are they made of? Does God have a heart? How do you know? What scriptures can you bring back that tells you God has a heart? What? Okay. John 3:16. Good. We know that. We know that scripture, don't we? What about, does God have a mind? How? What scripture comes back? Okay. What's the other one?
The mind of Christ.
Mind of Christ. What's a popular one that we probably know? Well, that's good. We'll get to that. How about this? Who knoweth the mind of God? Who can instruct him? Right? Who knoweth the mind of God? Do we? No. But we want to, don't we? We have to read in order for us to. All right. Is God spirit? Is God soul? We know it. Why? What scripture comes to mind? To tell you that He is spirit. That's right. God is spirit. Therefore, we will worship Him in spirit. All right? Okay, so, as you said, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What is the law? What is the law? That's part of it, the Ten Commandments. So what are the prophets? Okay, if we said, what is the book of the law? What books are we talking about? The first five books, the Mosaic Law. So if we just learn the Ten Commandments, do we have enough language within us to be able to recall information to guide us into our approach as a teacher? We're going to get to that. Keep that in mind. Because on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we still, not only do we have the Mosaic Law, but we also have the prophetic books, don't we? Really, actually, we have the whole Bible that we need to read. And we'll get to that. So, in essence, are our bodies merely God's vessels containing His Word? Heart, mind, and soul? Are they? Let's look it over. Vessels. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What does He mean by treasure? What is valuable? What did he say? That's correct. His word. And if you go back and you look and reference that treasure, you look through it and look at it in context. Treasure is his word. We have his treasure in his word. We got to keep it. We got to be reminded of it. Who do we, have you noticed who we were helping here? Next door? We're helping the homeless. Got an opportunity to talk to some of them. And it really relates to what we're learning here. I talked to Ms. Bonnie, older lady. So I said, what led you to be in this position that you're in right now where you're homeless, pushing a cart? She said she ran away from a man that was trying to kill her. Her family wouldn't believe her. And she's fearful of this guy. She said, I hope he's dead. And all that from what this guy did to her led her there. And this other guy, Mr. Frank Bowman, he said, I want to serve the Lord. I believe in him. I want to. But I keep going back to alcoholism. And this other lady lost her job, lost her family. Why? And I said, okay, why did you do it? There's a reason why. Alcohol. She loved alcohol too much, and now she wants to change. Her eyes were welling up with tears as she was saying that. I said, you need that treasure. Keep it in you. Meditate on it. It's so important. And we'll talk about that more. Okay, so what we're saying here, let me finish here. Yet not, say, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Why can't those things stop us? Because what that treasure that we have, God's word, should remind us that nothing can stop us. Is it our power? No. It's the Lord's power. It's the Lord's power. So, I underline this, always caring about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Of what? What did he do for you? Yeah. That's right. But yet at the same time, we have joy, don't we? Why? Why? You have everlasting life. We have heaven to look forward to. This body is just a vessel. Let's go on. So, look at this one. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So is this body just a vessel that contains God's word? Should contains God's word. But who's it up to? Who makes that decision? Okay, we do. God's not going to push you. He's not going to force you. You said you guys are being called to teach. Follow through. Don't let words, which we're going to learn, words to discourage you. They're nothing but words. Don't fear them. And we'll learn that. We're going to see some scriptures about it. All right, so let's look at another example. Let's take a look at Job. It's a great example. Perfect example. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all the man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. What did God do to Job? Some of you know. We'll have to read it. What did Satan do to Job?
He took everything.
Everything? Everything. And then at the last, he did this, skin for skin. So when you read Job, his friends, so-called friends, his so-called comforters came, and when they saw him, Job was unrecognizable. Couldn't recognize him because he had all these boils from head to toe. Everything. And if you look at Job and you continue reading Job, he said, what I feared, has happened to me. What I feared has happened to me. Was Job a God-fearing man? Oh, yes, he was. What does the Bible say about Job? Was he a sinful man? Righteous and blameless man. And what do we know about the end of it? He spoke right about the Lord, correct? So look at that at the end. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Your whole makeup of who you really are is language. I can't see." My professor, ever since he just stirred my thought and just encouraged me, when he said, "What do you think we're made of? If God said in the beginning was the word of God, what are we really made of?" Language. Because what I see, and you'll know, we'll get some scriptures there. What I see, I don't see the real you. Can we deceive people? Sure. If I can say, I can come up here and none of you know me, and I come in with my police uniform, and those of you who don't know me, you might think that I'm a police officer, don't you? But my wife, she would say, "No, you're not a police officer, that's a costume." So if my costume is telling you that don't know me that, hey, I have the law in me, but I'm deceiving you. So outwardly, we can deceive people, and we like to do it all the time, and we'll get to that. Because one of the things about a teacher, don't look at the outward appearance of a person. Because they don't know. Because you have students that what? Sometimes they'll dress in black. What are they trying to say to you? What are they communicating? Say again? Rebellious. But there's some other things, there's some other signs that manifest from their heart that you can see them. That's correct. And if you only focus on the outward appearance of that person, you'll never reach them. Just like over here. I mean, I'll walk with these guys and I'll talk to them. Do we ever stop and talk? Why are we so afraid to even talk to them? Because it's the outward appearance that keeps us away from them. Oh. Little kids will do that. Little kids will do that. Why? That's what they learn. Society. They're learning it. So let's go back. So our integrity, hey, it's who we are inside. Our heart, soul, and spirit made up of language. And we'll get to that more about. So keep that in mind. Physical body is dying. If you instruct the brethren these things, you will be good. You will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and on the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and all wise fables. What are all wise fables? Stories. We can teach little kids all fables that are not true, but yet they're ingrained into their belief system. It's language that has been engraved into their heart, soul, mind that they start believing. We have to approach this. We have to approach them to be able to change and modify. And we need God to do that, and we need prayer. All right. And go back to this. For bodily exercise profits a little. I need to, you know, when we go out and I do the teacher training, I always emphasize, listen, a little bit of physical exercise is not going to hurt you. It will help you because it helps you endure or helps your physical endurance and be able to withstand some of these kids and be able to physically stand and teach these kids. Let's go here. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. I mean, we don't grasp that. But as we start learning, start reading the Bible, we start understanding, we are constantly being renewed. How? Because the language of God, His language, we are allowing it to form who we really are. Now, I'll get to this. Now, what's going to happen in the end? Are we going to be put through a furnace? Say again? Our works. So what's going to remain? Our works are connected to what? Who we are. Because as some of these things, our thoughts become words, our words become actions, and our actions become habits. And then our habits become our character, which leads to our destiny, right? All right, so he said to them, does this offend you? What then? If you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So his words are what? They're spirit. So got to be inside you, all right? So let's go on here. Again, let's go back. So ask that question again. So what are we made of? And you said words, language. I would agree with you. But if we study this and research it on your own, I would call you to research it on your own, that I would agree with you. We are words. We are language. This body is not really our real body. Are we going to get real bodies? We're going to get our new bodies, aren't we? Yeah, we are. So words, language, let's look at this. But on the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. Notice that. He brought them to Adam, correct? Now, do you think he brought them all at one time? All right, oh, you're a turkey, you're a bear, you're a giraffe. No. No. What's even so amazing about this whole thing is that, look at, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed it up. We know the story. And he brought the woman to Adam, right? And then what did Adam say? This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Isn't that amazing that this guy already has the understanding of language? Already. That is amazing. So he has a reason why he called her a woman. Do you not think that he had a reason why he called the bear a bear or the animals the names? God brought the animals and the birds to Adam to name them. What does that show you? God and Adam had a close relationship. God walked with Adam. He brought him. I want to see what he's going to call them. I want to see. That's a close relationship. What happened? What happened? We know it, don't we? We know it. We know that, hey, after the fall, Adam and Eve are separated. They chose what? They chose to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, correct? No longer was God's word there connected, his spirit connected with man, so he had to separate it. And we need now Jesus Christ to come to us. We know that. What words did they experience from the knowledge of good and evil? Let's say this here. Let me go back. Adam and Eve knew about death because God said, hey, if you eat of the fruit tree, you will surely die. So Adam was an intelligent being. He understood what that word meant. But guess what? He experienced it now. They experienced that word, death. What other word did they experience that was not to be experienced? Say shame through their what? Sin through their, remember the word naked too? They saw themselves, they were naked. And from there on, that word naked just been perverted throughout time. Okay, so where did this language of knowledge of good and evil? Understand that when Adam and Eve made that choice, now man had to make and use his intellect to decide what is good and what is bad. Without God, we think that we can make the right decisions. And we think that what we see is good, hey, that's good, but not according to God. I'll give you an example. Let's go to Cain. It led us to what? Cain led us to what? What did he experience? Murder. But before murder, he experienced what? Hatred. But the jealousy, that's right, too. He experienced that. And so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? You know, Pastor Brian talked about this. And what was Cain doing? What did Cain do to disappoint God and make God, hey, I reject him. I reject what he's doing. What's that? Brought the fruit of the fruit of the field. What were you going to say? That's also true. And do you all remember what Pastor Brian said in his teaching? That it appears that when you do a sin offering, the blood sacrifice is required. And when you read the book of Josephus, you know Josephus is a historian. When you read the book of Josephus, he said that, yeah, what he calls Cain a wicked man. Because what he was doing is inventing these things and forcing the ground to produce things that what he invented instead of allowing those things to grow naturally like Abel did. And so God favored what Abel's doing. But he called Cain a covetous man. So he was angry, disappointment, and hatred were experienced. And now we continue on the path of experiencing all this evil. These words that were forbidden, they're called forbidden fruit, they're now experiencing it. So what happened with the flood? Look at that. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All thoughts. So God created what? I mean, God caused a flood and erased them. All right, let's look at this one here. The Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and tower which the sons of man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one language. And they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse us. So how many of you believe that that's where all the different languages came? You believe it. He confused them. So they were all of one language. And then he confused them. Now, they were wicked people, so they were trying to defy God. As Pastor Brian, one of his teachers, if you remember, that what did God call the people to do? He wanted them to do what? Say one. What is the commandment he told the people to do? Multiply and go out, spread out. So what these people were trying to do, hey, build a tower. And what the historian Josephus is saying, that they're trying to defy God by building a tower so in case the flood comes again, hey, you're not going to kill us this time. You know, it kind of makes sense, you know, what Josephus is saying. But they were trying to defy God. So all this here language is leading us to try to see that whatever we're doing is right in our own eyes. Okay, so what is it that moves the people to think perpetual evil and to defy God? And to not obey God, to go against God. It's language. Let's go look at this. And they said, come, let us devise plans against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us attack him with the tongue. And let us not give heed to any of his words. But I was telling you, you cannot be afraid of words. Although we could say it, but yet, they could still have power over us. Now, look at these gentlemen who I was telling you about. She is still afraid. The lady I was telling you about, she's still afraid of this man who terrorized her. She was telling me that he tried to kill her with some drugs. So she ran away, and now she's here trying to keep away, and she still has that fear. And she wants to believe in the Lord, but she can't. And that gentleman who still keeps going into alcoholism, it's just the word alcohol. He said, I just can't seem to get away. I love the Lord. I give my life to him. But then I go back to alcoholism. Our tongue, your tongue, devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking, righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Our tongue can do damage. As teachers, and I've seen this happen before, and this, I give you my experience, I've seen teachers where they really destroy a child. You can destroy a child with your tongue. You know, teachers may use sarcasm, and they think that sarcasm is okay. No, sarcasm hurts. It also hurts. It affects. You think you're just joking. No. You don't know what that child's gone through. The criticisms. The students that I have that we deal with are students that are kind of unique. They're challenged socially, economically. They're challenged. One girl sitting there with a tattoo on her arm, and the tattoo read, hatred is silence confined. What does that mean? Hatred is silence. I didn't know what that meant, but the other students, they knew. Hatred is silence confined. What do you think she meant by that?
Whatever goes in, those bitter words stay in, just locked in your heart, locked in your mind, locked in your soul.
Is she a cutter?
A what?
Is she a cutter? She cut herself?
What do you? Did you hear that question that she asked? Is she a cutter? How did you? What do you mean you say that?
I don't know. I just thought that.
Maybe she was. She was. Because in her arm were razor marks, a lot of them. What she said, hatred is silence confined, is she said that, do you know all these kids that are bullied or criticized? And you don't say anything, you just kind of build it up. It's kind of builds and builds inside you till one day you just go off. And we see kids do that, don't we? Columbine, other schools as well, where you kids see just go mad and they get that attention. So hide from me the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. So just by calling a child brat or other child, that can affect a child. You got to be careful what you call a child or even what you call a person. Got to. You got to use words to build up that individual. All of our teachers are dealing with students that have been sexually molested, physically abused, abandoned, and are homeless. Have so many other issues in their life that all they're worried about is where is their next meal going to come? And one of the things my wife says, make sure that cafeteria is good, the food is good. Not only the food, but also the residential living. So everybody is a team there. And I tell them that we're all teachers. We are all teachers. All right, so let's go to here. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They also have surrounded me with words of hatred. All right. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. We are what? To embrace God's word. But if all we're doing is reading one scripture a month, a day, are we really building up who we really are? We got to read. And if you look and you research in the Bible, it calls us to read. Remember Christ's question said, have you not read? Puts it very nicely, but makes you accountable. Have you not read? We got to read, because if we are made up of language, then what do we need to survive? Words. That's right. Because Christ said, what? I am the bread. I am the bread. And we'll look at that. All right, let's go. So let's go. I wanted to show you this other one here where it says, my soul keeps your testimonies and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies. If we don't embrace them, then you're going to have other words that are going to come in and try to lure you away. For women, what's one of the biggest challenges that they have of words and language that try to attract them away from the Word of God? You have challenges, don't you? As men do as well. What are the three big challenges of a man? The main three. You all know them. Women know them. Come on. What is it? Pride, power. What's the other one? Money. And then what else? Women. Women. And for a man, you know, my brother, and I'll give you an example of that. My brother works at customs. He's a canine. Not he's a canine, but he's a canine handler. He's a canine handler. He's not a dog. He's not a dog. He's a canine handler. And he said that a lot of what they do to transport or traffic any drugs across the border, he said they use women a lot to distract the man from not looking any further than where she's at, where she's sitting. And we'll get into, but that's what I'm saying. Our appearance, who we are, we try to distract people from who we really are. I gave a lesson on last week to the kids, and I kind of modified the lesson. We have a curriculum, and you can modify it as long as you stay within that curriculum. I had them write, "I love you, Jesus," and a nice piece of paper. I had them color it. "I love you, Jesus." Then I read them questions. And I said, "Here, I want you to listen to these questions. I'm not the questions. I want you to listen to these statements. And if you are guilty of any one of these, I want you to rip that piece of paper. Just tear a piece off of that piece of paper." So I would ask them, "Hey, if your mom or dad has said anything to you, and you said that you, and asked you to do something, and you say you did it, but you didn't, rip a little piece of that paper." And all we heard was one. Then I started reading other ones about making fun of other students, and then another piece of paper. And as I think read about 10 of them, and then everybody eventually started ripping up that piece of paper. So what we had was students that had ripped up the whole piece of paper where "I love you, Jesus" gone. But we had a couple where they ripped the piece of paper around the "I love you, Jesus," right? And I used that as a teaching moment. Why? Why? As a teaching moment, that's how we are. We like to hide our sins. We like to hide who we really are, and not really be humble and be transparent, that we do make mistakes, that we walk around, "Oh yeah, oh, I love you, Jesus," and all that, yeah. And we wear all these things, this apparel to let people, lead people to believe that we are holy when we're not. So that was a great teaching moment for the kids, but let's go on. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Okay? "Therefore, says the Lord, I am against these prophets who steal messages from each other and claim they are from me." We have to be careful. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. Because if you don't read the Bible, then how are you going to be able to make decisions to make the right decisions if you don't have the Word of God? We'll get to that in the morning. Let's go to this one. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though barriers, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse. So, are we all going to have, as teachers, are we all going to have everybody really learning? We're going to teach the word, but not everybody's going to learn it. Who's responsible? Hey, the person is accountable for their, that's why we say we make our students accountable for their learning. At some point, you got to be accountable for the decisions that you make. You have to be. We are there to help them and guide them, yeah, and we have to be patient with them. We do. Patience. So let's go on here. You shall speak my words to them, and whether they hear them or not, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. What did Ezekiel eat? A scroll. A scroll. Then Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in these days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but the very word of God. That is so important. As a teacher, if we don't have this foundation within us, how are we going to be able to teach to students and connect with the student? But that's not all. There's more. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bears good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. And we know this, don't we? We know this. It's fruit, singular. We know that. Galatians 5, what? 22, yeah. Where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits. Singular. That we're to produce what? These words. Gentleness. Kindness. Okay, so there's if there's good fruit, then there is bad fruit. A good man, out of the good measure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man out of the good measure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So whatever we have in our heart, it will speak. Job was put through that test. Everything was taken away from Job. What remained of Job? Second? That's right. His language. All that language, when you listen to Job speak, I said, wow, amazing. Amazing. That at no time did he speak ill of God. And everything that he went through, whoa, I wouldn't want to go through that. Where you're losing your family, you lose everything, then your whole body, your flesh, you're unrecognizable. But what God is showing you, me. We're the readers, aren't we? We're the readers. We're reading here that is possible. It is possible for us to withstand that attack. All right? So here's what. Listen to this one here. He calls the Pharisees the brood of vipers, right? They go out of the blue. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Our whole makeup of who we are is language. How many of you have ever seen that little Twilight Zone episode where this guy was building this whole basement, fortified basement, so that in case an attack, a nuclear attack would come, they would be safe. Well, you know, he had neighbors and friends, and they were all joking. Yeah, come on, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. So they're all joking, drinking, always coming together. Everybody was friendly. Until what? That day came when there was a nuclear attack, and the family who built that fortified basement, they went in there, and the other neighbors who were so-called friends became what? Did you ever see that episode? Oh, they attacked. They were trying to break down the door. And what? They were exposed. All their internal being, their whole makeup was exposed. We really saw who they really are. Again, I'm telling you, we don't know who you really are. Who knows? God knows. All we can see is what manifests out of what you do. That's it, what we can see. We can pretty much make a judgment call by that. And we, by talking to you, we can communicate with one another. We can find out who you are as well. All right, if we could do it, just take about a 10-minute break, water break, bathroom break, and we'll come back. Okay. Thank you.